All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
So the sermon series that we're in is called The Crossing. We're following the Israelites as they cross from slavery in Egypt out into the wilderness. They're there quite a while and learn a lot of things, and crossing towards the Promised Land. So today we're still way at the beginning. We're going to talk about the calling of Moses. He has his own journey to take first, crossing from fear into obedience, and who become the leader of Israel. But first, let's set the stage a little better here. So the people of Israel have been slaves in Egypt for a long time. They're becoming more and more numerous, so the Pharaoh is feeling threatened by them. So he wants to kind of limit their growth. So he orders that all of their baby boys be killed. But Moses' mom puts him in a basket in the Nile, and somehow he's found by Pharaoh's daughter instead of by the soldiers. She has compassion on him, and she raises him as her own son. At some point, he learns that he is an Israelite by birth. We're not sure when or how. But when he's older, he's out and about, and he sees an Egyptian beating an Israelite. And he knows these are his people, and he feels compassion, and he feels the injustice of this, and he kills the Egyptian. And then word gets out, and Pharaoh wants to kill Moses. So then Moses runs away to Midian. Now, we can relate to this. There are people suffering all around us. There are people suffering in our city. There are people who are in slavery to sin. There are people who are being abused, being oppressed, people that are hungry. And we see them, and we feel compassion, and we want to act. But sometimes it blows up in our face. Sometimes we try and we fail. Moses acted quickly and rashly. He called on his own strength and knowledge instead of on God's. And that's where he went wrong. So he's out in the desert, out in Midian, and this is where things are going to change. Moses has an encounter with God. So we're going to read what happened. We'll start in Exodus 2, but I'll be skipping some verses because there's a lot. Now Moses was keeping the flock, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, "I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned." When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And God said, "But I will be with you." Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" Then Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, "Put out your hand and catch it by the tail." So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. But Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to me, but I am slow of speech and of tongue. Then the Lord said to him, Who made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. But he said, Oh my Lord, please send someone else. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand this staff with which you shall do the signs. Now it occurred to me as I was studying this story in the book of Exodus, this story of Moses' calling, that there are several ways that Simba's story and the Lion King is like Moses' story here. Both were born to be leaders. Both fled their home because of fear and guilt. Both spent a long time in the wilderness, and they were both called back to their family to free them from oppression and abuse, and they were both afraid to do so. Let's watch this clip from The Lion King.
Simba, Simba.
And you tried to save me. It was an accident. I didn't mean for it to happen.
Of course you didn't. No one ever means for these things to happen. But the king is dead. And if it weren't for you, he'd still be alive. What will your mother think?
What am I gonna do?
Run away, Simba. Run. Run away and never return.
Of course, there are some important differences here. Moses actually did kill the Egyptian, and Simba didn't actually kill Mufasa. But guess what? The devil isn't concerned about what actually happened or didn't happen. Whatever happens, whenever we're unsure or we're wondering what to do next, the devil is there to whisper, run away, and never come back. The devil will do anything to interfere with God's plan for us. We were each put here for a purpose. God has given us each unique gifts and talents, and God will use our life experiences, both the bad and the good, to bring salvation to the world. The devil will tell us that we don't have gifts, that our talents aren't as good as other people's talents, that our past is irredeemable. He always says, run. Run away and never come back. But God calls us back. No matter what we have done, he still has work for us to do. We still have a purpose. There are people suffering, and we are each needed. Moses tried to convince God that he wasn't good enough, but God answered him, and God has answers for us too. So let's look at what Moses said. First, he said, Who am I? What's so special about me? Now, God doesn't start listing off Moses' good qualities here. He doesn't say, well, you know, you would be a great leader because of this and this and this. God says, I will be with you. He isn't looking, he's mainly looking for obedience. He's, whatever it is that God is calling you to do, he will be with you. And isn't that what we say to our family and friends when they're afraid? You know, it's okay, I will go with you. That makes a huge difference. So then Moses says, what if they ask me a question I can't answer? What if they ask me what your name is? God's answer here is pretty vague. I am who I am. I'm not really sure what that means, but God continues, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I know what that means. I know the stories of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob. I know what God did in their lives and how God worked through them. and the Israelites knew their stories too. You might not be able to answer every question about God that comes your way, but you do know what God has done in your life and in the life of others. So Moses' next objection, they won't believe me. A legitimate concern. God promises to show signs, which included turning Moses' staff into a snake and back. These signs were specific to Moses and his calling. Not all Christians can turn a stick into a snake. And Moses actually didn't do it himself because it wasn't a magic stick. It was God's way of showing to the Pharaoh and the Israelites that God was the one that sent him. God had just chosen this staff kind of to be Moses' tool to work through. But Moses got a little confused about that too. Later on in the story, when they had already left Egypt and they're wandering around in the wilderness, they had a lot of people, a lot of Israelites, and they needed water. So God told Moses to take his staff and strike a rock. And he did that, and then God caused water to come out of the rock, and they were able to drink. And so they keep journeying on, and later they come to another place where they can't find any water. And this time God says, Moses, just speak to the rock, and I will make the water come out. But Moses thinks, you know, I've got this under control. I like my staff. It's pretty cool. I'm just going to whack this rock. And nothing happens. The water doesn't come out. Because the stick isn't magic. The power comes from God, not from us. And what I want you to hear from this is that the proof of God's existence doesn't come from us either. Our job is to tell the story. It's their job to decide whether to believe or not, and it's God's job to show himself to them and cause them, hopefully, to believe. So Moses tries again. I'm not a good speaker. Maybe he has a stutter, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he has a speech impediment, maybe not. Maybe he just doesn't have a large vocabulary. Maybe he gets nervous. Or maybe he's just getting desperate for an excuse. God promises that won't be an issue. He made Moses his mouth. He can help him with that. We all have reasons that we can't do something, why we're not good enough to do this or that. But with God, all things are possible. Leave the how up to God. We just need to obey. Now Moses is out of excuses. He says, God, just send someone else, please. I don't want to do it. And now God gets angry. He didn't get angry at Moses' fears or his shortcomings. He gets angry at his unwillingness. Then he tells Moses that his brother Aaron is already on the way to be the spokesperson. God isn't angry at us when we feel afraid or inadequate. But he wants us to listen to him when he says that we don't need to fear anymore because he will be with us. And he knows that we are inadequate. But he is prepared, and he has prepared us in the ways that matter to him. Finally, Moses relents. He crosses from fear to obedience. Now, we've really only looked at less than two chapters today, and I've left out lots of details. Even in the part that we did read, I skipped a whole bunch of verses. But I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Pastor plans for this series to last 4 more weeks, and there are 40 chapters in the book of Exodus. So if you were to read 10 chapters a week for the next 4 weeks, you would read the whole book of Exodus by the time we are finished with this series. So you would find out all the details that we skipped. You wouldn't miss anything. I dare you to do it. Find out what God has in store for you. 10 chapters a week sounds like a lot, but these aren't like chapters in a novel. You know, the chapters are like this long on the page. So give it a try. If you don't have a Bible, we have some that you can have, or you can download a Bible app. We all love our phones. Or there's audio Bible apps or websites you can go to. And you can even rent a movie. There are a whole bunch of movies that were made about Moses and the Israelites in Egypt and in the wilderness. You could kind of use that movie to, like, maybe motivate you to read more. And then you can compare what was the same and what was different, whatever it takes to get you in the Bible. Because, you know, it's wonderful that you're here. It's great that you come to church. You need to be with the body of believers, and we need you here. But if your relationship with God is at a standstill, you might want to ask yourself if a couple hours on Sunday morning with God is really enough to grow in your relationship with him. For example, what if I told Thomas, you know, I love you so much, sweetie, but I just don't think we need to live together anymore. And really, I don't even need to see you except on Sunday mornings. And, you know, you don't need to text me or call me. Just I'll see you on Sunday mornings, and we will just stay in love and have a wonderful marriage. That wouldn't work. You know, our marriage would be over. Your relationship with God isn't going to grow if you just come on Sunday mornings. You need to spend time with him through the week, praying and reading your Bible. So give it a try. If you struggle, if it's hard, talk to me or John or any of the people, anybody else here. There are ways that we can help you. So anyway, earlier we heard Scar speaking to Simba. Now we're going to listen to what Mufasa had to say. And the worship team can come.
Look down there.
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look harder. You see, he lives in you.
Weather. Very peculiar, don't you think?
Yeah. Looks like the winds are changing.
Change is good.
Yeah, but it's not easy. I know what I have to do, but going back means I'll have to face my past. I've been running from it for so long. Ow! Jeez, what was that for?
It doesn't matter. It's in the past.
Yeah, but it still hurts.
Oh, yes, the past can hurt. But the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it. Ah, you see? So what are you going to do?
First, I'm going to take your stick.
No. Not a stick. Hey, where are you going?
I'm going back.
Good. Go on. Get out of here.
And this is what God has to say to us. We are his children. We have a purpose. We have a calling. So I'm so glad you're here today, but coming here is not enough. You need to spend time with God. God has a plan for your life that includes people outside this building. His plan is for you to join him as he works against evil, as he alleviates suffering, he frees the captives, as he feeds the hungry, kind of like on Tuesday and Thursday nights here, comforting the hurting, loving the rejected. God has a job for you, a unique job that only you can do, that you were specifically designed and prepared to do. So come to church, pray, read your Bible, learn to listen to God's voice. Satan's voice is the one that's whispering, run away and never come back. But God's saying, remember me. Remember, I am with you. I am in you, and you are my child.
That was very inspiring, Amy Jo. Thank you. We have some announcements. Ladies group Saturday at 10 a.m. For those who are interested, please join us from 9 a.m. to 9:30 for a low impact workout. Bring a towel for the floor exercise portion, and a Bible study will follow at 10 a.m. Bake sale for district teen camp is after morning worship today, so you can get your goodies on. And so go on back by the kitchen area and purchase some baked goods and help the kids go to camp. They would so appreciate it. And then there's a father and son luncheon, and you can get tickets from Tracy, and it's June 16th from 12 to 2, and the tickets are on sale for $6. Get yours today. The Well, Fighting Hunger and Feeding Wellness, is a partnership with KSB and Lost Lake Church and takes place every Tuesday and Thursday evening from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. The Well provides a restaurant-style dining experience for anyone who may be experiencing the food insecurity free of charge. The Well functions to promote health and wellness in our community by focusing on relationships and physical health. Interested in helping? Volunteers are welcome. Talk to Tracy and get more information. Tracy, will you raise your hand? I think everybody knows you, but just in case. Okay, so we're going to set up for afterwards. If you'd all stick around and make sure that the Well is set up. We set up tables. Everybody kind of knows what to do. If you can stay, please help with that. Next board meeting is scheduled for Sunday, July 8th, following morning worship. If you'd like to join us, you're all welcome to be there.
All right.
You can stand and worship with us one more time.
All the worries of this world, I will lay them at your feet. Surrender every anxious thought for perfect peace, your perfect peace. All the loved ones I hold dear, all my hopes and dreams and all my fears, I will choose to trust your name in everything, with everything. I will look up, for there is none above you. I will bow down to tell you that I need you, Jesus, Lord of all. Jesus, Lord of all. I will take you at your word, for Jesus, you have taken hold of me. All my life is in your hands. You are my strength. You are my strength. I will look up, for there is none above you. I will bow down to tell you that I need you, Jesus, Lord of all. I will look back and see that you are faithful. I look ahead, believing you are able, Jesus, Lord of all. Jesus, Lord of all. Prince of Peace, perfect healer, all my life
cares on you, King of Kings, mighty Savior, all my life. All my cares on you, Prince of Peace, perfect healer, all my life. All my cares on you, King of Kings, mighty Savior, all my life. All my cares on you. I will look up, for there is none above you. I will bow down to tell you that I need you, Jesus, Lord of all. I will look back and see that you are faithful. I look ahead, believing you are able, Jesus, Lord of all. Jesus, Lord of all. Jesus, Lord of all. Jesus, Lord of all.
Praise God.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
God bless you guys. You are dismissed.